bring him in here for? He ain't the guy. There's a story of the
Roman Reigns. Smart Marks.
For something that he never done. Put in a
chamber.
But one time, he could have been the champion of the world.
Way down in Georgia. There lives a strange collection of people, but the tie that binds them is WrestleMatch, and they love to sit around and talk about it, and that's what they fixin' to do. Georgia Wrestling History proudly presents the WrestleMen, a Whoopcast. We got Shane, Brian, Bill, and two Mats. We got a grandpa too, an old foot and shod. Yes, you know they finna get right. It's the WrestleMen. They talk about wrestling. No, ladies and gentlemen, that does not mean Jimmy Rave is coming. That means this is the WrestleMen, and we have just finished watching WrestleMen Mania. And for once, Foot is not the only one who's drunk on this podcast. So just to set the old stage-a-rooney for you, it is 1 in the morning. Mm-hmm. We are now into our second viewing of WrestleMania. And we're going to be fresh out of the box in the morning for y'all. So by the time you hear this, all the hype will have died down.
It won't.
All the Mizarks will have gone to bed.
They won't.
And the wrestling world will be lulled into sleep waiting for Raw after WrestleMania. This is a abbreviated, as it were, group. We are scattered to the four corners. Bill is in New Orleans right now at WrestleMania. Shane Marks is watching with his lovely fiance, who I'm sure is very upset at a very bloody Roman Reigns. And Myers was here a little while, but he's very old and had to go home. So you got me. I'm Matt. That there is Foot Tootsies, our roving reporter. And that rat bastard over there is Brian Blaze.
Oh, I'm a rat bastard.
You know why.
Because it's Mania.
Yeah, because it was a year ago today. Your damn transgression about Spider-Man came out, but that is neither here nor there today.
Wait, as in my transgression? I had no gripe.
You had the damn lead score. You was top scorer in Spider-Man game.
Between the three of us.
In the world, Craig, of the world. But we have been watching wrestling for what, Brian? Like 72 hours straight now?
Too damn long.
We watched every show that aired from the Pontchartrain Center that was on WWN, and then we watched all the lead up today. So we've watched a lot of wrestling, but we'll try to focus on WrestleMania, and if we have some time, we'll loop into a few of the things we saw on TakeOver and some of the WWN things like PCO's chest, PCO's moonsault. That god-awful Bloodsport show.
I feel you just want to talk about PCO and Walter. Let's just go and get that out the way.
I've watched that match like four times now. I don't even think I liked it, but it was so weird. I've never seen a man's chest.
He was literally bruising as the match was going.
Yeah, it looked like Kool-Aid had been spilled on PCO's chest. First of all, did not know that PCO was Carl Ouellet, who was the eye-patched sort of Rougeau hanger on. This is the first time I've seen Walter in action for real. He just does a lot of chops. I mean, that guy does a lot of chops. And PCO took them all. But that moonsault, these were two big behemoths. And for some reason, PCO tried to do a moonsault to the outside of the ring. And Walter, being the biggest man out there, decided, nope, I ain't catching this. Referee should do it.
No support.
And that match also ended with a split-legged moonsault. So
to be fair, if I would have looked up and saw that moonsault, I would have gotten out of the way myself.
Given, well, like Myra said, like he's legit blind in one eye.
They can't see out of the other.
That doesn't affect form.
No.
It affects maybe where to go, but that doesn't affect form.
It probably was like bad depth perception.
It messed up.
Like Walter probably had all intention of catching him, but he just went.
He just short. He was so short on it.
He just went to the left.
We also got to see a lot of local Georgia talent. I saw AR Fox 15 times. He wrestled. He was on every show. We saw Austin Theory, local boy made good, captured the WWN title as well as retaining his own FIP title. I believe he would have wrestled at the Access show.
I didn't see Odin wrestle.
I don't know who he saw Odinson several times.
Yeah,
we saw a lot of the WWA 4 students. Saw AC Mack get murdered by his fellow WWA 4 guy. Just kneed right in his face. Logan Creed showed up. Logan Brooklyn,
good buddy,
showed up. It was a heavy, heavy Georgia representation. But you know, people are going to be talking about WrestleMania, so let's get to it. Brian Blaze had the good foresight to not get drunk like me and Foot, and actually make notes of the show. So Brian, you will now take over leading us through this podcast, which is I'm so grateful of because I'm very drunk.
Do we want to start with the pre-show? Or just
Start at number one, baby. All right,
so the first thing that we saw tonight was the men's Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which...
Before we get into that, give me your overall, just your macro level thoughts, and then we'll get into our micro level analysis. Give me your macro thoughts on WrestleMania as a whole.
On WrestleMania as a whole, I thought... Again, we have all been drinking, and we watch a lot of wrestling, so maybe it's the alcohol.
Blame it on the goose.
Maybe it's wrestling fatigue, but I thought that the wrestling was fine, but the execution was crap. Like, when we get to it when we go through, what I picked one match right.
Yeah.
And I feel they should have went the other way with a lot of stuff that they did.
Tootsies?
I agree. It was either... No, because I thought he was going to say... I literally thought that he was going to say it was crap all around.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
He said that about most everything. Stupid Edge wasn't on it, so he already hated it.
But I feel like if it wasn't a great match, it always ended up in finished product that would... No, a finished product that at least you like the end spot. Which I'm specifically talking about Nakamura and AJ Styles. But if it wasn't, even if it didn't have a good ending, it didn't have the spot that we were expecting, or that should continue into a story, it had a good match. It had a good story that was told within the match.
I don't think I've ever watched a Mania that I was so wrong about everything as far as the booking of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's what I'll say. I'm going to get out of the business of trying to figure out their booking. And I don't mean that as a slight, like I would have meant that as a slight if I'd said it a few months ago. I mean that I feel like we're in a restructuring phase of how they do business.
I was about to say, maybe they are tired of workers calling everything
that happens
to the end. So could also be a thing.
You also said this.
I said a lot of
stuff, bro. You said this 3 years ago, and we did it 3 years ago. We got to stop fantasy booking.
You got to stop fantasy booking.
Which we did. We did. We went in for like 2 years. We're like, all right, we're just going to watch it, and we're going to let us be surprised. And then somehow we fell back into...
I think this year was not so much... There was a few things that I think that we all kind of discussed. We discussed a lot on the podcast here about... A little bit of the fantasy booking, but because that was because there were open-ended spots.
It's so obvious, right?
Yeah, like...
I think that's what it is. They made everything so obvious for it to not happen.
It felt like there were logical conclusions all over the place, and they didn't go that way in most of the matches. Tootsies, look like you got something to say.
No, I was about to say that's probably the point. They want to stop being so predictable. They want to actually, okay, well, I mean, even if you're unhappy for some of the endings for WrestleMania, if they can fill out these stories and actually make them work, specifically, again, going back to the Nakamura thing, because I think that was the thing that we were most surprised on, if they can make these stories work, then we'll still be...
But the thing is WrestleMania, a lot of these storylines and angles are supposed to be coming to an end.
Typically, the
they're supposed
point.
To be coming to a head here. So a lot of these people are supposed to be moving on, but at the end of the day, at the end of tonight... It looked like everybody is going right back into the same thing.
Typically, the ending point. I'm not ready to call any of it bad. I am. The fact that they were bold enough to make bold choices that were not predictable, I will give them the opportunity to win me over and take me in a different direction. So let us now. That is our macro. That is the 30,000 foot view, as they say. Let us get into the minutia. Let us get microaggressive. Own WrestleMania.
So, we're starting with the pre-show. So the pre-show.
More like P-show. That's what I'm going to be doing a lot because I'm still drinking.
I guess I can count this one. Matt Hardy won to Andre.
Think that was the right thing to do.
That's the right thing to do because you got this big trophy.
Yep.
And Matt Hardy has this gimmick where he's going to use it.
Something weird.
It's going to be, we're going to see this
he's
trophy.
He's talking to the trophy.
No, I was about to say, he already started whispering to I'm waiting for
and
that.
And that's the thing, with that big trophy, you should do something. You should put it in our face to remind us, like, hey, this is a thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And with Matt Hardy, we're going to see it more than once a year.
And that was probably the first time that I had an opinion on who should win that match.
You're right.
And I think they did literally everything I wanted to happen and happened in that match was Hardy won it. I wanted Bray to come back and be with Hardy. And be weird together and just go off on the craziest, weirdest things. And that's what happened.
Sound like you're trying to write some fanfic.
Well, that's a different kind of fantasy booking that I'm doing. and then Samoa Joe's going to be with them. And the Uranage boys will be born. Oh, yeah. Managed by Matt Hardy. It's all going to be great. So, no, I think that thing was fine. Okay. I think it's a good place to start. It got people involved right off the bat. They got to delete, and they got to be happy, and Bray came back. Good stuff. I'm fine with that. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page with that. Secondly was Cruiserweight title, which Cedric Alexander won. I would have went the other way, but that's just me. I think Mustafa gets the better reactions, and he has a lot more stuff that catches the crowd attention than Cedric Alexander does.
Somebody earlier said that Cedric Alexander got the better pop when he first debuted,
and I think the Cruiserweight gimmick,
yeah,
not on 205 Live, but in the Cruiserweight tournament, he did.
Yeah, that was the We Want Cedric. That was Triple H coming out and putting his arm around him and all those things. I think that they are, quite frankly, rectifying a mistake that they made by not having him win the Cruiserweight Classic in the first place.
You're not wrong. I mean, I kind of figured they was gonna put it on him anyway because he was already in that picture before the whole Enzo thing. So, but
and maybe lucky for him that because they went the direction they went in and TJP had it and then Rich Swann and all those things happened, maybe lucky for him that he didn't get it when he did because now 205 Live is 100% a different show than it was when he would have had it the first time. And now he might have a chance to really blossom into something other than
a real live
star that those other guys didn't really get the chance to do because 205 Live was an afterthought.
It was a gimmick.
It wasn't even like NXT is clearly this. NXT is college football as to NFL or college basketball as to NBA. 205 Live is
arena football.
Yeah. It's the same sport because
it's arena football. It's just all the good shit. It's all the good shit you want to see in the NFL condensed and right down
your face. You're right. And it's not going to lead to anything. All right, what's next?
The final thing on the pre-show is the Women's Battle Royal.
I don't even remember that match.
They swerved.
I remember nothing about it.
It came down to...
And I was happy. And Naomi won.
Go for it. Yes,
and
this is your time to shine.
Happy that she won. You know what? I wanted to see more out of her moves for it, but it was smart. It was like, oh God, it's coming down to Bayley and Sasha. No, bitches. Here this girl come. Oh my God, it's Bayley. Nope, screw that.
No. You fine.
It's Bayley. Bayley won. No, bitches. And then I love her victory dances. I love
it. Was smart. I wanted Bayley because Bayley's getting the short end on the stick.
Yeah,
but at the same time, SmackDown is getting the short end of the stick. Like Raw Women's, they have a lot going on where SmackDown doesn't. So to put that on somebody on SmackDown was smart. So.
And
still mad that it looks like a uterus, but everybody,
you know what?
Well, it was supposed to be a woman on top of there.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that changed about that match at the last minute. And sometimes trophies are dumb.
That can't be. I'm on the women's trophy. I'm surprised they just didn't call it the women's revolution thing or something like that.
Smart from the get go.
What did they change it from just when they changed women's?
They literally just call it the Women's WrestleMania Battle Royal.
But y'all acting like y'all didn't just induct several people or that we don't have other women's names that we could have put on that.
Yeah. Why does it need one?
We have Andre.
Yeah, but just because, I mean.
But the thing is, y'all brought up all the bad stuff Moolah did. So yep.
Y'all was ready to run down on Moolah's ass. Y'all ready to ride down on her.
And then they had to.
If they would have been like the China Memorial Battle Royal. Well, she did porn.
Andre was established before. I do not mean this in a derogatory.
I do. I'm going to say, I'll say a lot of bad shit about Andre.
No, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but before different. Before different social movements went forward, Andre had already been established because I'm pretty sure we would have threw in his face like
he was Bad News Allen. We would have thrown the Bad News Allen story right in his face if that happened today. There's no getting around it. But, you know, so that's a different podcast.
It might
for a different
have
day.
Been harder to.
I think.
The thing is, they have terms and phrases that they use all the time. So for the fact that they just didn't call it the women's evolution, the revolution.
It goes with their own gimmick.
It's a complete miss on their part.
Yeah, it goes with their own thing. I thought it was done well. I think that the story between Bayley and Sasha was told well enough that it, my God, think about if we had had one more match that was Bayley and Sasha tonight. And how dead that would have fallen.
I don't think we'd be doing this podcast.
No, I would be asleep. WrestleMania would still be going on.
And I love them. It's not like they can't go, but it's
but
just.
It was, tonight it, wasn't the night. I love them. When you've got Asuka and Charlotte and you've got another title match, there's just no reason to do that match tonight. It would have been rushed. It'd been no reason to do it. And now you can
especially
run off
when
that thing.
You were about to be upstaged by that good.
We'll get to it. It's one match between
one
that.
One match between
and
that and this, yes.
Right. And so, all right. Main card now. First match of the night, I think, surprised us all. Rollins went over in a triple threat with Miz and Dolph.
We should have known right there that it was going to be that night.
Yeah.
But first off, I'm going to go ahead and get my nerd phase that you can connect with.
Here they go.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
But the Night King. The Night King gimmick.
Wait a minute.
First of all, also shout out, even though he will never hear this, Cedric Alexander, if nobody else liked it, I like the Black Panther. You like the War Machine gimmick that
Mustafa is from Chicago. I'm biased.
Okay, whatever.
You know how he is.
I don't like War Machine or Marvel.
So. Everything Chicago, he's right up his alley. But yeah, Seth Rollins comes out. The set, I dug the set. I thought they did a good job with the face.
And I didn't even notice that
the whole face of the Night King comes up. And I said, because my first reaction is, why is he dressed like the Unsullied? I was like, wait a minute. I saw the eyes and I saw his contacts. So yeah, I'm going to allow that nerd out because that's something I like. And I will critique all other nerding outs. Because that's what I do.
But match-wise.
Hey, hold on. Before we go there, Miz's jacket.
That was a hell of a thing.
Miz has got entrance gear, really. That is the
He has a forte for that.
I don't know what they're doing with Miz, but I like the business of sending the two back. I like how it was played. Mm-hmm. I thought he held his own in that match.
Because we would have expected something different
thing is, they're turning him face when they really need heels right now.
I don't know if I buy it as a face turn.
I think so. Because they keep putting over he had this baby. He's a changed man. That's, he sent Curtis them to the back tonight.
I feel like that's the long con setup. It's what that feels like. I said I was going to give them whatever story they want to tell me. I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
But I thought he really, you know, 2 years ago we'd been screaming, he's out of place in this match. I don't remember a spot in there where I thought he was slow. No. I don't remember a spot in there where he was out. There was a couple of shots he laid in there stiff as shit. Mm-hmm.
John and Trey still going to hate on him, though.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I was watching during this. I was probably watching Walter and PCO again. So I'm going to let Brian talk about the guts of this match.
Okay, we're going to talk about one more thing since we're talking about gear. I love standing for a social cause, but if any night is the night to come out, and y'all kept saying this too, and EJ kept saying this because EJ called it before it even happened.
Don't put EJ in this, nobody knows who it is.
If there was any night to come out as the Demon King,
it was tonight.
Oh, no. We had that conversation. Literally, that was the only thing we talked about on our group chat before WrestleMania today. Did Bill pose the question?
I think Bill or Shane won it.
They posed the question, was we going to get the Demon? And we all knew he was, and they didn't set it up.
Yeah.
But tonight was the night to do the Demon, and, you know.
However, again, WrestleMania would still be going on if the Demon had come out.
Because they got the short ring this year. They got the short ramp.
It's a long crawl still, man. But, yeah, I get it. I didn't like the champ coming out in the middle, second, right?
Yeah, he came out in the middle.
Doesn't care for that.
And that happened all night.
Yeah.
Literally all night, the champ came out first or second.
Except, women's match did it right.
No.
No. Charlotte came out first.
Charlotte came out first.
Because she had the gimmick,
right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Speaking of, the second match of the night.
The best match of the night.
In slot two.
The old steal the show spot.
Charlotte versus Asuka.
Everything I wanted in a match.
May not have been everything I wanted in the match, but the finish.
I have not one bad word to say about the match itself. And quite frankly, I agree with the finish. And this might just be a personal bias or a personal thing from a booking standpoint. A streak bothers the hell out of me. Because a streak is absolutely worthless unless you break it.
That's fine, but it was the finish that was after that. Because I told you during it, I was like, her saying what she said felt like her bowing down.
We'll table that for just a second. We'll come back to that. But the streak, so here's the problem with Asuka's streak. It was born somewhere else.
Yeah.
That streak was born on NXT, yeah. And the majority of the people watching that, I was just like scrolling through my Twitter tonight. And obviously, I follow a lot of wrestling things, but I'm also a big sports fan, so I follow a lot of sports things. And so I was noticing that the people that usually tweet about football, basketball, baseball were all tweeting about WrestleMania tonight. Yeah. And because of that, that lets me know that it brings in the casual people who don't know what NXT is. So Oscar streak was born there, and it's not Goldberg streak. It's not the Undertaker streak where it was in your face constantly. Yes, they say that Asuka has an undefeated streak. But that is really about we had the argument as the match was going on. How many days has it been? Did we hear 500? Did we hear 400? It's not that kind of thing. And the same way that they have dropped, I don't know if Charlotte, was she still undefeated on pay-per-views? You know, that was a thing for a little while.
She lost.
Something happened, yeah.
She lost to Sasha.
Yeah, okay.
They win the crown, she tapped out on the
floor. That's right. But so a streak like that is only as good as if you break it. And I don't think, before we get to your point, in the match itself, I don't think anything happened that will take away from Asuka. I do think that a lot of things happened that will add to Charlotte.
I do, because I was just about to say that. I was about to say, Asuka, even though like Charlotte has consistently shown that she can grow and consistently meet the criteria, because it wasn't, at first it started out, like Bill would always say, ABC. Whatever.
I don't think they started out ABC.
No.
They
and went she A to grew. F she quick. Grew. And even though it was ABC, like ABCD, like she could still start doing these high spots. She could still like make a match flow. But then this was very like visceral feeling. And
Charlotte worked her face so well during that match of like, what have I got to do to beat this crazy Japanese buzzsaw? She went cry face, which I'm sure some people hate. But I think that she uses it in a way to like sell the emotion of, I don't know what I got to do, dude.
Why isn't this happening for me?
Right.
Why am I not winning? I am the queen.
Why is she not dead? I've been killing this bitch. Brian, you disagree and think that it takes away
the monster. I disagree. Well, the one thing that you said is like, nothing, like, she's not, Oscar's not affected. But she tapped out.
I don't like it, but.
She tapped out. Like, Oscar could have put in the chicken wing and Charlotte could have got a roll up or something on
Yeah.
You could have beat her that way. But for her to tap out kind of devalues her a lot. And that's just the way we was taught.
No.
Yes.
Only because I say that they told a really good story.
I don't care about the story.
Okay.
She put her in the figure four once.
No, I thought she kept
working. No, she didn't.
And she only got half of it, to his point. It was her arm. Charlotte's arm was hurt. Stuck. So she had to bridge with one arm.
Right. That's why I thought that would not end that
and
way.
That's a rough one. You're not wrong, because I didn't like her tapping out either, but
don't get me wrong, I agree that the streak was born on NXT, and to WWE's point, they should not have made it that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have the streak broken, why didn't you just do it before now? Because now she's on SmackDown where...
She's
on SmackDown where she's going to have matches with people that she hasn't had in NXT. So you're going to see a lot of good stuff from her, but the streak is just going to start over now.
I would agree with that. I think she's the killer. I think she's the killer now that gets turned loose. Like, I get it. I gave up. Blah, blah, blah. Now I just start to kill people. And now you can build her up in the front of everybody.
That's what I was
going to
say anyway. Like, once they do break the streak, like, I think she probably should have went crazy tonight and just beat the tar.
Yeah.
That's
well,
right.
But
that's
there was another on. Thing. And so that gets to, we'll go out of order and we'll go to Nakamura Styles after this, because I think these two bridge together.
Yeah, they kind
of. Because the ending of the match bothered you, or the post-match shit bothered you a lot with what Asuka did.
Yeah.
Because it's Asuka. It's Asuka does not bow to anyone. No one is ready for Asuka. So you equivocated one sentence with the other, and by giving that promo, you could have hugged her and walked out.
I don't like any of it. We talked about that all week. We saw too much hugging and handshaking
over,
after matches.
60 shows. But if you equivocated that with that, and then you say, someone was ready for Asuka, it's the same to me as saying, I will bow down to the queen.
Well, she literally did.
She didn't bow down. She didn't. She tapped out, but she didn't bow down.
She gave up.
I don't.
And that bothered me, because it's like, no, you are still badass. Hmm. You don't have that streak, but you still have those wins.
It depends on where they want to go next. With her, I think that
she
thing
went crazy and turned full heel instead of just being
well. See,
like,
I think that was put in that place to set us up for the AJ Styles to hide that Nakamura turn a little bit. They used a little microaggression, one Asian to another Asian, but it depends on what you want to do with Asuka next. If your plan is to keep her as lovable, colorful Asuka, then that's not bad. It is not bad for a babyface to admit in the face of a crushing defeat that on this night, you were ready, you were better, and sort of the wink is always, I'll get you next time, but you don't have to say that. But, and it also depends on where they plan to go with Charlotte. If they plan on Charlotte having a long standing run...
It's been a minute.
But you are right with maybe keeping her face.
Right, it just depends on
faces on.
It depends on where you're going.
Well, that's to talk about women real quick. On Raw they have definitive faces and heels. SmackDown they don't. 1 week Natalya's heel, next week she's face. I mean, and then the crazy thing is it's. And the Riot Squad is the only definitive heel faction on SmackDown. But the rest of the women, they just flip and flop.
Yep.
They flop. And then, like, everybody else is just, like, the best of the friends. So it's like, what the hell do you got going here? And I know, like you said, they did it tonight. They got to fighting over which color. they was wrestling.
But that was.
You gotta draw.
I'm orange. You can't be orange.
You gotta draw a line in the sand somewhere. It's like we all can't be friends. We all can't be good.
Right. You're right. Well, let's dwell on that.
It's the same. That's a weird thing.
That's a weird tiny thing that all of us picked up on during the Women's Battle Royal. Becky Lynch and
Big Indian lady.
Queen.
We don't know her name.
Mid colleague. She was wearing orange, and Becky Lynch tells her that that's her color. And
you
Nina,
literally had men walking around for the Andre, walking around, but it somehow did not seem worse than that.
Than them saying fighting over a color. But let me ask you this:
my hair is orange.
Your thing is orange.
To Becky's point, that was a whole gimmick.
But that's a real thing, right? I mean, that's a real thing that can happen. With women.
Not in a match!
In real life, that is a real thing, that if two women show up wearing the same color dress, they might be a little angry with each other. Is that fair to say?
Pause. If two men are in a match...
I'm getting to a bigger point. Stay with me. I'm getting to a bigger point. Is that not a real thing that exists?
Not inside the ring, on the street.
No. Yes. I refuse to admit that.
That's a trope, right?
Yes.
So, as it being a real life trope that people can relate to, is it? I understand you as a wrestler has a problem with it. You as a women's wrestler, especially, has a problem with it. But what did we just talk about with everybody? All the new eyes that were on the product tonight. You have to have little things that make. Perhaps it's a family's watching it for the first time, or there is a couple watching it for the first time, and perhaps the woman's not into wrestling. She doesn't really, this isn't her deal. If she sees a trope that she's familiar with, she is at least drawn in for a moment to maybe pay attention and get caught on something else.
I won't agree. If you don't like wrestling, don't go. But
you're not at the show foot there.
I'm just saying. Or if you're watching, don't force yourself to watch, because you know how they make. No, hold on.
Forcing.
That's not a way to make a new girl stand out. Because I get it that it brought the attention to that girl. But guess what? You know what was Coda?
Dakota Kai.
Ibushi. How they brought attention to her was they gave her a good spot. Oh, this is your main kick.
We're having two different arguments.
You are arguing about people who watch wrestling and enjoy wrestling. You're talking about wrestling fans. I'm not talking about wrestling fans.
We're talking about them, the women's division on SmackDown.
And I'm talking about casual people who are at a WrestleMania party, just like was at my house tonight, and somebody brings their girlfriend. And how do you reach that person who doesn't know what wrestling is, who's never heard of any of this, who might not be interested in it? How do you bring them in? Because guess what? When you watch a sitcom, they do the same thing. They use common tropes that mm-hmm. all of us know to make us engage with the product, sit there for a couple beats. Why do you think the NFL has a halftime show of a band that nobody wants to see?
But especially not men. They will, but in a negative way, because they're going to be like, Did that girl just stop the fight to argue over a car?
I guarantee you somebody probably said, you know what, I've been there before.
I've been there before. That is my point.
I guarantee you somebody said, I've been there before.
And it would be the same thing if, how was a hypothetical, if they had done a spot in the Rollins and Miz and thing match, where they pretended to throw some sort of spear through. There was some Game of Thrones reference, right?
I was about to say, I could find you an equivalency. It's basically, if you've never really watched 205, back when Cedric had that feud
with over Alicia Fox, that's another thing. You see my point? If you overdo those things, bad. But if you do those things in spots where it can work, that is a way to drag people in. Okay. That's just my point on that. So that match ends with one Japanese ass kicker handing the belt that she has not won to an American victor and being very cordial and respectful and saying, hey, you were ready.
Which, well, before we jump, then that is just a minor mention. As that match is ending, a referee is running out, jumps the barricade. whispers something in John Cena's ear, who's sitting ringside.
Undertaker's here.
All since the pre-show, Cena gets a look on his face, get up and run. Now we're jumping ahead.
So now we're going to jump ahead to Nakamura and Styles, which is the most controversial. Well, not most controversial, but is the second most controversial thing that happened on the show here in our house that was full of 99% wrestlers and 100% of people who are wrestling fans. The attitude was, this is not what we wanted. It was not enough. And I am a devout Nakamura fan. You've heard me say on this podcast that I was worried about that match for that very reason, because if it didn't go the way people wanted it to go, not finish-wise, but just match-wise itself, then the blame would be squarely on Nakamura, because we all know that AJ is going to deliver. AJ's track record in this company and any other company tells us he's going to deliver. Nakamura's track record in the WWE is very different than his track record was in Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of like pulling, like, please, God. I enjoyed the match. I thought that there could have been a little more, but at the time the match was over, we're a little deflated. Not necessarily because Nakamura lost. I expected him to win. I certainly expected him to win after Asuka didn't. I didn't figure. I would not have been surprised to not see the belts go on two Japanese stars, because that's slimming down the audience. It's making it smaller. But after the heel turn, which was magnificent, by the way. It was a magnificent heel turn. The boots he put into AJ late in that thing were nasty. But after the heel turn, I feel like it was the exact match that it had to be, because now we know it's not over. What were y'all's thoughts?
You go first.
That's it.
You don't have a
I keep forgetting that
she just clocked out.
What we discussed earlier hasn't been discussed on the radio. So basically, we're like, okay. And we were willing to take that ride. Like, y'all are building up slow. Y'all are going to have this big finish at the end. And then it didn't happen. And then Nakamura lost. And then he actually bowed down, which I was upset about after hearing the words that Asuka said. And then he punched that boy in the dick.
I was
ready for it. And then, like, it took 2 seconds after basically jacking off to him heel turning to be like, yeah, you know what? I didn't need to see everything that they could do in that match.
Right. Now you don't need it all, because it'll happen in two or three
pay-per-views. It'll happen with more passion behind
it. And if they had the foresight to say, Asuka, hand this belt to Charlotte, be very humbled. If they had the foresight to do that, because they knew that the male equivalent of that match.
Even down to some of the spots.
Down to the spots, yes. They both did some of the same spots. The same,
and they lulled us into that comfort zone of, not comfort zone, but that discomfort zone of, oh my God, this is going to happen again.
Yep. If they had the foresight to do that, that is genius level that they have not displayed in many years. And whoever agented those two finishes, that's a different way to do a thing than I've seen in a long time. That is a very that's almost Inception level. Sort of. I'm going to plant this seed here in this other match that has nothing to do with this match, but aesthetically, these people kind of fit
actually
similar roles.
Actually, it has a lot to do with that match. Actually, looking at it, it's just.
But storyline-wise,
it's SmackDown, though.
That is both the SmackDown titles. You're right. I didn't think about that. Because Asuka kind of throws the thing off because she was on Raw. Brian, what did you think about the match overall?
Watching it, I had an odd feeling about it. And I don't know what. I didn't know what it was then. I don't know what I was drinking, but I didn't know what it was then, but I know what it is now. It was face versus face.
It was.
Yeah. And we. And all the other marks around the world was used to Nakamura, AJ, and New Japan.
It was a face heel.
The difference in New Japan is whether we want to believe it or not, there's always a face and a heel in a particular match. But here, it was face.
It was baby. You're right.
Face.
You're right.
And I've been in that situation. Face versus face matches
is awful.
They flat out just do not work.
It is hard.
It's hard to do.
It's hard to make that work in a traditional wrestling setting. Now, if you were at WWN and it was two babies, or Scenic City is a place where, that thing can work. different crowd. But when you have a crowd on a mass scale
yeah.
that most people there don't know the ins and outs and don't know what's going on and maybe hadn't watched the TV or maybe...
I mean, even... I'm going to pick a New Japan. Even the last Okada Naito match, that even had that,
it had that same thing.
Weird feel where yep. it's like, this match, you just sitting there watching like, I know this match should be better than what it is, but I can't figure out why. It's just because it's that face versus yep. face dynamic.
And in retrospect, we should have seen this coming.
Yeah.
Because that is... That it had WWE written on it after the fact, because I think all of us got caught up in, oh my God, it's Styles Nakamura 2, we're going to see it again, they're going to tear the house down, all those things, and we did not stop to think about, nope. this is not a one-off.
Also,
this is, it can't be a one-off.
Also, WWE has, they started doing this thing, excuse me, where they transition people without saying anything.
Yeah.
Because AJ literally went from being a heel.
Mm-hmm.
He was the top heel.
The
heel.
Wrestled Shane McMahon at WrestleMania last year.
As a heel. And then it turned.
They never told
face
us.
Face. And yep. never told us. So we sitting here thinking like, oh snap, since the Royal Rumble, we getting AJ and Nakamura at Mania.
Yeah.
And nobody, and it didn't dawn on anybody that we're getting a face AJ
yep.
versus a face Nakamura.
And, you know, in the build-up to that on the SmackDown TVs, Nakamura was a bit of an ass.
he was
much less cool than he had been in his past run.
Yeah.
And he was the aggressor
yeah.
in every situation. And as much as I enjoyed him, fake Kinshasa, tap AJ on the head, that's not what a babyface does. Yeah. That's a heel move.
And then AJ returned it.
Sure,
week,
so. but he's striking back. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Once the heel starts punching, you can punch. And so they told us the story. We just were too blind. We were too caught up in our own.
And I think they also have a way of covering stuff so where we don't notice it. Because, like, I watch SmackDown now, and I'm so thrown off by the stupid way they cut promos now. The whole selfie promo.
Yeah.
It just gets on my nerves. Mm-hmm. So I kind of out of it every now and then.
Yeah. SmackDown has been a tough watch over the last few weeks, and so you don't watch it with the interest or with the level of analysis that maybe you'll watch something else. But they told us this story, we just didn't believe it. And I think that we all kind of got caught up in thinking we know what they're doing. And for whatever reason, Jeter is calling us right now. So I'm going to, while Brian is taking this call from Jeter, I'm going to speak on Jeter's behalf for just a couple minutes, because that man right now is as happy as he's ever been in his life about wrestling. All is right with the world. He could not have seen, he couldn't have scripted a better WrestleMania for himself tonight, but that's what he's done. He's so happy. He can't believe his luck. He can't believe what he's seen tonight.
Give us our next match first.
The next match is the Fatal 4-Way.
So the Fatal 4-Way is next, and this was the match that I devoutly had no interest in. This was the only... I'm not going to say low point on the card, because quite frankly, I took this as my opportunity to refresh my drinky-poo. I took this as my opportunity to stretch my legs. And I took this as my opportunity to turn on some of the other wrestling that I hadn't seen from WWN. And me and John Williams nerded out on some of that stuff for a little while, because I just was not very interested in what was going on. Foot, did you pay any attention to that match?
I don't think I did, but I will try to remember what, because I'm pretty sure there was this point where there was a glitch in
the Matrix.
In fight, where it just started going really fast. Was that?
we had some app problems with the Fight Network, and it was just showing wrestling at 3 times the speed for a while. So that drew our attention away. But, you know, Jinder Mahal wins that match. Fine, whatever.
I did like that finish. It was a surprise to me. I know y'all wanted Rusev. But if
I have a complaint about any piece of booking, if I had any complaint, it would be that they didn't put Rusev over in that match. I feel like...
We did figure out why, though.
And why is that? Because I'd love to know.
They were going to India. They're going to India.
Well, they're not going. Saudi Arabia is not in India.
I thought they were going to India. I swear y'all told me they were going to India.
Brian said that they were that they were going over there. The East. Okay. But they're going to Saudi Arabia, which is decidedly not an India. Indian country. Microaggression against Indian. Brian, 2 minutes penalty box. So I don't know. I don't know exactly why they wouldn't pull the trigger there. The gender experiment certainly did not do big business when he had the big title. Again, as I said in the beginning, I will wait and I will see where the story takes me. But I don't have a lot of faith in this one. And I feel like that in a night where we didn't have a ton of crowd serving, that would have been an easy place to serve that crowd up something that they could have gotten behind. And precedent has been set that if you win a secondary title in WrestleMania, that thing can get bounced off you very quickly, a la Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
And you can kind of reset the world to go wherever you want to with it. So I feel like that was a missed opportunity. But again, though, Brian, it's exactly what you just said about the Nakamura-Styles match. Rusev is a heel.
Yeah.
So
Rusev is a heel that's over with the crowd.
Yep. And it will be tough in that situation as a booker to crowd serve something that is counter to how you're booking it. You're booking this guy as the bad guy. I would have some trepidation about giving the fans that much power to tell me who the babyface was.
Yeah.
To have the big moment for Rusev when I have posited him as a heel. But that's my two cents.
Personally, I feel
who drank all my beer?
You did.
Bullshit, ref.
Personally, I feel that they booking the whole U.S. title wrong anyway.
It feels like a boring, dead title.
The thing is, because I think right now the guy that needs the U.S. title is Rude. Yeah, I think Rude needs it. Because he kind of got jumped up from NXT quicker than I honestly expected. And they say it's maybe an age thing or whatever, but nobody really knows him, and he kind of... Rude is also a guy that works better as heel. So I think you leave the bet on him.
I was just going to say, it feels like everybody in this feud is miscast.
Yeah.
Rusev should be shifted over to be a babyface. Gender is gender. He is what he is. I don't. Yeah.
But I feel like gender is in danger of getting lost in the sauce. Like,
no, not anymore.
Is getting this like this like push with it.
He's so vascular.
He is fine. He's not getting lost.
Brown rice and grilled chicken, baby. He ain't going nowhere.
He's gonna be at home working on the XFL. He's gonna look up where's gender. Let me pick up my phone. Wait a minute. What y'all doing with my gender? He ain't on TV. No, sir.
But babyface Orton is the worst thing ever.
In an intergender gimmick by attaching him to Charlotte, like, he's getting a little bit of a push. And I think gender's actually going down.
I don't think he is.
I just feel like that.
He needs that belt. He needs something that's going to make people watch him, that's going to make people pay attention to him. Because if not, he's going to get lost in the shuffle. Because he's just average Joe White guy that they got plenty of.
Plenty of them. They got so many of them. As they told a prominent Georgia wrestler, we got plenty of white guys with beards. But, you know, Orton, it just begs to be a heel. Rude should be a heel.
Yeah.
Rusev should be a babyface. And, you know, gender can play, you know, gender can be their Miz.
Yeah.
He's not the talent that Miz is as far as being able to get to cut promos and those kind of things, but he can fill that role.
If you put the work into him, he probably will end up being a Miz.
He can fill that role of just unlikable. No matter what you do as a character, he's just unlikable. So it just feels like that whole thing needs to be shifted around a little bit. But that leads to maybe the SmackDown, like I said, it's been a rough watch. But up top, they're fine because it's been AJ Styles carrying the load for the last bit. And the Nakamura thing was what we all wanted. But they've got a mid-card problem.
Yeah.
Because nothing you put in their mid-card seems to matter. And I don't know if it's because they have been locked in with Owen Zane, Brian McMahon as sort of up top, and so
yeah, because those guys are they kind of main event pitcher, but they're working upper mid card.
And so then by default, the world title became the mid card.
Yeah,
and so then everything underneath that was really preliminary stuff. So they like think about Baron Corbin. What is there anything that could be done with a dude like that that would make you interested in him or care what he's doing?
This is my personal opinion. If they had the hardcore title, yes. If the hardcore title was still there, you'd have a lot of stuff to do with a lot of guys that you want to do something with, but you have no idea to do it.
Yes. So, but that gets to the bigger point of it is going to take a drastic change in how business is done to get that mid-card over.
Yeah.
And a guy like Rusev, who is hot right now, if you decided to push him that way, could go that way. But, and all of this sort of operates under this sword of Damocles, which is the brand split, which could be shaken up massively at any time. We could get a draft. Would not surprise me at all if tomorrow night they announce the draft date.
Yeah.
And that would help us understand a lot of what went on tonight.
Also, talking about the mid-card, I think the thing with SmackDown also is you got a lot of guys that's been used to working those same guys. So now they're just bored of each other.
Yep.
Like, when did they do this draft? The last one.
Oh, God.
But it seems like these guys have been working each other for a long time.
Yeah.
They just don't care anymore.
Yep.
Like, everybody's working like Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ziggler clearly doesn't care anymore.
Yep.
But everybody else on SmackDown has that same feel to
them. Yep.
It's like, coming out here, ABC, here's my super kick. Here's my finisher. Yeah, let's go home. The one thing SmackDown does have over Raw is the tag team.
Yes.
They do have that, though.
What's the next match?
The next match, surprisingly, is the Triple H and Steph versus Ronda and Kurt. And that was number four. That was the fourth match we saw tonight.
That is the Triple H spot, man. That is where he likes to work.
I think that should have been further down the card, though. That was the only celebrity thing we had.
I think the card was laid out pretty well. For what you had and where you had to have things, I think the card was laid out pretty well. I can't think of anywhere else to put it.
No, because we had this discussion about the tag teams with the surprise guests. If that was what you were going to do, go ahead and move that up. We did mention that. Get to that.
You could move that around, but here's the problem. If you move that match any further down, I think that match suffers if it moves further down the card because you've seen so many other things. You will note, like, the level of energy. And Triple H is obviously smart. He knows when that crowd is going to be at its peak and want to see it. And he know, and whoever laid this thing out knew that that was the match for that time. The opening match was very good, but and then you went down. Charlotte and Oscar was great. And then you kind of ease down, and then you need the big pick-me-up right there at number four. And, you know, with people have had time to get in. People have had time to get settled. Technically, while it's fourth on the main card, it's technically like seventh. It's the seventh thing they've seen.
Yeah.
So you're playing that spot of, how can I maximize right now? People have now gone to the bathroom during the last match. Because you knew that four-way was going to die. Everybody knew that it was the thing that had the least interest in build in it. So that thing was going to die. So people would go do whatever they do there. They're not going to give you the finish they want. They're giving you the gender finish. You're hungry for anything else you're going to see next. And so Triple H, being the genius that he is, slides himself right into that spot. And as far as, I think Asuka and Charlotte as far as the best match, as far as the most fun match, I think this was it by a landslide. This was fun. Cool things happen. Interesting things happen.
Surprising things happen.
I don't think we have anything bad to say about it.
I don't have a bad thing to say about it.
I think we all knew that's the one we all get right.
That right. We all knew it was
that's the one
there.
We all get right. Everybody knew Kurt and Ronda was going over on that one.
Thought it was done well. I thought everything was good about it.
Only nitpicky thing we all had to say was Ronda needs gear.
Ronda needs gear.
That was all.
Ronda needs gear that
Rick Michaels get her.
If it'd been red or white or plaid, and it needs to not get sucked up into her innards after every move.
Actually, I think
which I'm not necessarily complaining about, but for her comfort and ease of work, I think she'd do better if her shorts were just a little bit longer and she didn't have so much to worry about.
Or if she just had briefs.
We going on?
Yeah. I mean, I think we'd be dwelling on how good it was and how much we liked it. I think it was pretty simple. If you didn't like that match, you stop. You get out. Just get out. Your time here is done.
I feel like anybody who went into that match without like being like, oh, this is going to be like not that good, I feel like they should have been surprised.
No. I just didn't care about it. I was not moved to like it. I was not moved to dislike it. I just thought it would be a match on the card where some stuff would happen. I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed it and how well they put it together. There was always balls in the air in that match. There's just constant juggling. And the camera work was good because you wouldn't see something that you shouldn't see, and then bam, you'd be surprised by it. Kurt looked good. Triple H worked hard. Triple H did a great job of selling for Ronda.
MVP of the match.
Yeah, he really did. He did a great job of, you know, him, the way he pulled her out of the ring. Younger. Oh, yeah, just Drake good. Younger, good all around. Good all around. Nothing bad to say. We'll see what happens next.
Me personally, like you said, I had no interest, but that's all Stephanie McMahon. Like, she, anything she gets involved with, when she got to talk, it just takes
she's
me
just
out
blazes
of it.
Kryptonite.
I love it.
Because she has this habit of...
I like that little promo.
She has this habit of, like, presenting us with something that we should care about, and then she runs it down.
Bringing it down.
It's like...
My interest in Stephanie McMahon is very different that I'm not going to get into. This is a Me Too era, and I'm not going to get into a microaggression against how impactful young Stephanie McMahon was on my life. So I'm just going to let it ride and say I enjoyed it. Tootsies, there was two women in that, so I'll give you the last word on it.
It was great. It
was great. So the next match, the match that we all should have got into, but we didn't, was the SmackDown tag titles.
Was weird, dude.
With the Usos, New Day, and the Bludgeon Brothers, who went over.
Very quickly.
And not only us, but the crowd kind of seemed to just not care.
I think they don't get the Bludgeon Brothers.
They do. That's one of the it's not hard to get. Two big dudes.
Two big galoots come out here and wreck heads.
They get it. It's just... They did some. They built something up so much, and it was like, this cannot be contained with a regular ass match. And
yeah, okay, so they made it no DQ, and they did all those things. Here's what I think maybe.
Well, it was a triple threat, so yeah. It's no DQ anyway.
Anyways, by default.
So again, my suggestion last time, they should have had a TLC.
They should have did a TLC,
and
right
people would have cared more.
Should have done a TLC. That's just the long and short of it.
They could have.
If they wanted that match to have an impact on the show, if they wanted that match to be memorable, they should have done a TLC. If the goal of that match was to just get the Bludgeon Brothers over as killers, I think the goal was accomplished. Here's what I think. I think just like you mentioned, the baby element of Nakamura and Styles kind of throwing it off a little bit, I think the element of Usos and New Day being together with a third thing in there that we didn't necessarily want to see in there with them, I think that's the problem. And coming off the heels of the last pay-per-view where you thought you were going to get New Day, Usos again. They had those great run of promos and you were excited for that match. Then it gets ruined by the Bludgeon Brothers.
I don't think it did. I think that was the right move.
Oh, yeah. I think it was right.
They went 6 months they was feuding?
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't need to see the same thing right anymore. They knew it.
Because they worked a very different match. Yeah. But I think when you introduce agitators like the Bludgeon Brothers, you got to up the ante. And I don't think they did that. Didn't. And that match was in the worst possible spot for it. I don't know what I think anything you put there dies a death. So if you know you're going to go short with that thing.
We did know what you should put there. You should have put the Hall of Fame rerun.
You should. That's what I expected. Yeah. I got up after the Triple H match. I got up to go smoke because I just knew that was going to be Hall of Fame time.
No, nope.
But it wasn't.
They gave it to us. They gave us another match.
I didn't see as much of that match as I would like because I was smoking, thinking I got plenty of time. This tag team's going to go forever. I come in, the stupid Bludgeon Brothers are going over, so I didn't see a whole lot of it to have a real opinion on the match itself. The right guys won. Without a doubt. That was the team to win.
I mean, I said TLC just to, so it can look like the Usos and the New Day have a chance with these guys. Because they did a good job of setting the Bludgeon Brothers up as this undefeatable kick-ass team.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, give these guys a chance, throw them in the TLC. But the Bludgeon Brothers still could have won. I mean, imagine if they was using those hammers to knock chairs and ladders away.
I would find it hard to believe that that doesn't happen at some point. You know, we're here in April now. SummerSlam will be here before we know it. Okay. You give the Bludgeon Brothers some time to go run off and destroy things. You separate the New Day and the Usos for a little while. And then maybe you get back to that. I will hold out hope that they...
If they're doing the draft, they probably going to...
Or they all get busted up anyway.
They're probably
going to
do
That's
it
also
at
true.
Backlash and, also and true. Then split all three of them up.
Yeah, the right finish, the match from what I saw was certainly not
right
bad.
Right finish, wrong match?
Yeah, I think it's right finish, wrong match. I think that is foot. Right finish, wrong match? Right finish, wrong match? Come on.
Right
is it unanimous? Right finish, wrong match?
Yes.
Come on. Right finish, wrong match.
I was unhappy with the match.
Right finish, wrong match. Move it on.
Now here's where things get interesting. Because immediately after that match, they play a commercial or whatever. And here comes John Cena's man. John Cena comes out. He's ready to go.
And
lights go
God.
Out. Here comes Elias.
Shar Jeter is just curled up in a ball, terrified of what's about to happen.
Now, I think this whole segment probably was the most entertaining thing of the night. Probably. The women's match was good, but as entertaining goes, Elias came out.
Also satisfying.
It was...
Yeah?
I'll give it some critique. I think that if I had to pick between this and... the Rousey, and I would pick the Rousey thing just because I felt like I understand why. I know what they're doing. But I was complaining about something. It's the Nia thing. I thought this segment went about 4 minutes too long in the beginning. Move it along. I understand. It's a great spot for Elias. He looks like a star because he gets to come out and do
give
a thing.
To do.
Get the rub
and they
Cena.
Got heel heat because he's a little on the fence with some people.
But it was real heel heat tonight.
He's not real on the fence. It's just people get it.
They get
and
it.
People like it.
It's interesting.
But when he comes out there,
and
he does.
Yeah, when he starts singing the song about how bad you are, they all get mad at him. So
he
that's
does
good.
Nothing to endear the fans. Yep. He's being a heel. He's working his gimmick.
Yep. But I think just get me to the point where he's out of there a couple minutes faster.
I think Cena leaving the ring to go back to his seat just to come back in didn't need that.
Didn't need to happen.
Didn't need
that.
Didn't need to happen.
If anything, because all right, after
it still got Elias over. Let him sing his.
But you can let him sing his song without having Cena go do that. He
if
can just
anything,
do it down the ramp.
If anything, Cena should have got out the ring because lights go out. Here comes Elias. Elias coming to the ring. I just got out the ring and went back past Elias. That's not what the hell I want.
Yep.
I came out here for taking. Yep. Here comes Elias. And then when Elias is running stuff down and Cena's on the mid of the ramp, you're like, you know what? I had a couple of me. I still want to fight.
Right.
I go down and beat up Elias. Yay. There's the gong.
Yeah. Maybe I would have liked it better. Liked it. I'm drunk and it's late. Maybe I would have preferred if Undertaker would have been the one to get Elias. Because you know, in the scheme of things, like what's happening there is Undertaker did come to fight.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to fight John Cena, and this jackass Elias cuts the line. You know,
right.
So or maybe I like that better.
Would you prefer?
Because you didn't have to trick us if you were going to go ahead and give us the turn.
If you're going to give it to me, don't trick me.
Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Or would you prefer it if Elias started playing, then the gong hit, the lights go out, and come back on?
Undertaker had a guitar. That's my favorite thing. I'd still be standing up in my chair pointing at the TV if that had happened. If Taker was playing the Dead Man Blues, I'm here for that. What did y'all think about and the hologram, the goofy, what a lot of people are going to say, I love
shit.
Love it. Like I said, Bray Wyatt walked so that WrestleMania 34 could run because those hologram entrances are pretty boss. It's like ESPN infusing itself.
Didn't really notice the first one, but they did the first one. It was just the WrestleMania
logo.
Because
Brian's like, is that a hologram? I'm like, sure, it's a hologram. Whatever.
And I thought it was just a normal thing to do. They spin it and it says sponsored by Snickers.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't. And then like the rest of not even the rest of the night. The third of the night that they did do
they
it.
They stopped doing it for whatever reason.
It was pretty cool. Even the dumb jump with the New Days and the Pancakes.
Vince got a hologram bill three matches into the card. It was like, nope, done with this. We did not mention that one, what's the word? What am I supposed to call him? Foot?
Oh, the little people.
Little people. That little person who was doing short the worm, stack. The short stacks, the short stack that was doing the worm that blew his knee out and had to limp to the back.
I'm not sure if he blew his knee out.
No, he
or
was,
if he was just drunk.
He was trying to do a little extra and something went
wrong. He popped
wrong.
Something.
Something went
that
wrong.
That short stack will be at Dr. Andrews' office that, tomorrow morning.
He wobbled into the wall a couple of times. Oh,
yeah.
That worm was perfect.
So, Foot, you said on this on our first podcast that the time that wrestling broke your heart was last year.
Jesus.
When the big dog, when the big dog put down what we thought for the final time was the Deadman. So tonight, you and Shar Jeter.
Oh, they was happy.
Get both saw.
I was happy. To be fair, I watched WrestleMania 33 earlier, right before this. And that match really wasn't as bad as I remember. It just really hurt my soul when that ending happened. But this didn't come out of anywhere. He was still going. Even though, I mean, he hit all his spots last year. And
he hit him way faster tonight.
Yes. And like you
he
said.
He looked good.
He looked good. He looked good. It wasn't out of nowhere. But
I said it jokingly early this week, but tonight it looks like they doing a three match series. Maybe not three, but they definitely going to get another one out of it. Maybe not at WrestleMania, but
so,
him and John are going to have a rematch.
So what did we say was John's? What did we say was John's excuse for going under so quickly?
No, I think it's literally just a setup. It's just a setup for another match, whether it be WrestleMania next year or SummerSlam this year. Because, I mean, he's going to be busy between now and then, so that's all it is.
It was the right, it was the only thing to do.
It was, because you couldn't tear our guts out a
I
second
didn't
year.
Care about a back and forth. The one thing that the storytelling of the WWE consistently punishes is a babyface who is full of himself. You look at the build that Taker had going into the Brock match. He showed a lot of hubris there that typically you didn't see. Like the lighting of the casket on fire and all those things were these subtle things that were a little too much, a little too bold. When a babyface gets too bold in the WWE universe, he is usually punished. And that is what Cena did. He was bold.
Yeah.
And he was punished. And yeah. I think it was, I don't know where it goes. I honestly don't care where it goes. You know, wherever they go, they go. Yeah, could be the end of it. I think that until
it is not.
I think you're probably right, but I do think that people needed the taste washed out of their mouth
of
last year.
Yeah.
And I think they got that. We got to kick it into high gear, guys, because we've been talking for a lot longer than I thought. Brian, the next match.
The next match, I'm trying to think. Oh, it was Kevin and Sammy versus the returning Daniel Bryan and
don't understand the finish.
It didn't need to carry on that long with
yes,
Shane.
I agree. But my thing is, Kevin and Sammy are fired now.
Yeah.
That like was that's I don't think like
you think so.
Well, I know, but I would have liked for this thing to be over in some way, but I guess they wrote it in such a way that it can't be over.
I would be fine with an invasion. I would be fine if y'all did that Seth Rollins gimmick all over again and just keep showing up.
At this point, that's what's going to happen. Like, they're either going to show up tomorrow on Raw and be like, hey, we need jobs.
We need jobs.
Kurt might be like, yeah, but Stephanie going to be like,
no.
And then it's going to keep showing up on SmackDown.
Maybe they just go to NXT. They just go work at NXT. That's the only thing that I don't understand is
like,
where you go from here.
If El Generico
comes back, I'm on board.
I would be disappointed because he's not going to do his top rope brain buster. But
Brian looked good. didn't look
rusty. That's the thing. That's what they had to get over.
I'd like him to not do that missile drop kick anymore, but I really did enjoy the spot tonight that he did it. Kipped up. I thought that was a great spot, but seriously, dude, let's not do that. Let's just not do
it. Muscle Shane, maybe sit down.
Yeah, maybe sit down. Maybe we're done with this.
I said that a long time
ago. Maybe take a seat.
But yeah, that's all they needed to get over was Daniel Bryan, and he literally could have did that in a hot tag. Shane tags back in, misses his elbow. They pin him.
Yeah.
That easy fix.
Easy fix. All right, what's next?
I think we already did next. I think after that was Nakamura. No. We're missing Nia and Alexa.
Foot, you got the floor. Go.
I picked this one.
Did what I needed to do in the end of it, but in the middle of it, it was just like, Alexa shouldn't have been whooping your ass so long.
Would have loved it if it had been.
Also, stop repeating some of your moves.
Yeah.
You have more moves. You have a bigger move set.
Yes.
I understand that you're angry, but.
Yep.
She needs. I don't think she has a bigger move set. She needs more slams or something else. Because she just kept repeating the same. She has not everything a whole she lot. Did. She needs another slam. Even if it's just a little toss or something.
Or learn how to toss better.
I want you to do a pump handle. I am tired of pump handles for this weekend.
Yeah, we saw a lot of pump handles.
But if she could do pump handles, something.
I take that back. I picked. My thoughts was Alexa by disqualification.
And keep it riding.
And not Nia. Carmella cashes in.
Yeah, I liked that she came out and immediately took out Mickey. I thought that was, I think that shows, A, she's angry at what they did, but that also shows very good strategy as a babyface, which you don't always get. Came out, just destroy her. I would have liked that match to have been like 4 minutes shorter. Get on Alexa, miss something, Alexa gets on you just a little bit, and then just destroy.
Yeah, having Alexa work her knee was a little bit much. Like, she didn't need that much shine. She didn't need that much. Especially being that her main focus was her eyes.
Yep.
So she.
And
she
if
really
you're, if
that.
The argument is, oh, she's the champion, she needs to get some. I understand that argument, but for the story you're telling, for the body dynamic between those two in a ring,
so far as getting, like y'all said, so far as getting the reaction from the crowd.
Yep, and the crowd was just dead.
They were hot with it in the beginning. When it started. Throw that bitch.
When she was beating
the crowd died during the heat, which fine, but. It's hard. Sympathy is a tough thing in wrestling to deal with, and you gotta know that if you're about to run out of it, speed up and get out of there. Next,
we did Nakamura AJ. This match is going to be the most talked about match for the week. Braun and Nicholas.
and didn't I mention it versus, right before that this might be a handicap? I was like,
handicapable.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna get retconned later on Raw, but
that's fine. But move it up in the card.
I feel this was a waste. It was a flat out waste of everybody's time. And
again, I have to take the side of the office, and I have to say that the story tomorrow will read, whatever Nicholas's story might be. I'm not going to speculate on what Nicholas's story is, if it was a Make-A-Wish situation, or Nicholas is sick, or Nicholas is alive. Whatever Nicholas's story is, it's going to make all the papers, it's going to be a feel-good moment, and you needed something to defend. You talked about it earlier with AJ turning and them not really telling you. You needed something to definitively tell you for good and all, Braun Strowman, next babyface.
Okay.
He went out there and got a damn kid out of the audience, gave the hot tag to a kid. I get it. I understand that it is ripe for criticism. I understand that. But I do not find it to be... Go ahead.
I was about to say, even within the match, you could have done it better.
You
could have did the hot tag, but it did put Cesaro.
Put Cesaro in a bad position, because if that was me, I would have been trying to get my hands on that kid.
All you had to do, though, in the end, was
because the thing is,
tag that kid in,
put him on
top,
Cesaro,
and we would have been might have been better with this
but
situation.
I would have fired off. I wish that kid would have fired off on Cesaro. I wish he'd fired up on him. That's what I wish would have happened. Yeah,
that's not what you meant, but we'll move on.
That's the same thing. It's the whole theater thing. Don't bring a gun.
Right, it's Chekhov's kid, man. It's Chekhov's kid, dude.
You have this kid. Either he's going to get hit, or, is he,
or he's going to do some hitting. He did nothing. He can't not do one or the other.
He did nothing.
I will agree with that critique. I think overall, though, you knew who was winning that match.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no reason. Braun could have beat him by himself. That's the story they were telling. Braun has been put over as an incredible monster. He even had to destroy one more vehicle tonight.
It didn't. it really didn't matter who his partner was.
And,
we all.
And that you know now you have your guy that you can walk down the line. And you don't know. None of us know. But you know who the next guy is. They have cemented him. They've given him all the tricks. They gave him all that stage prop work that he got to destroy things with. Then they gave him a cute kid to win a title with. And now he's got a gimmick that if he wants to do this for the next couple, 3 weeks, to bring a kid out of the audience, stick him in that corner, it's a thing that can work. I'm fine. It's not what I would book. Mm-hmm. But I understand it, and I find it to be very.
They're not putting no kid
oh God
in
no!
Me.
Oh God no! I find it to be very own brand for the company that employs the guy who's granted more wishes than anybody else. So I'll take it. On to the
main event. Main event. Brock Lesnar retains. I was about to say defeats.
I would have lost all of my little money.
And Roman Reigns takes that same walk of shame. Again, like you just said.
I had no.
Our main person had to take last year.
He is just
that
so,
walk of shame.
Yeah, that walk of shame
like
don't feel
people,
good, do it.
People pity clap. Pity clap. And you have to get get to the top and look
I don't
back
think
at
he
him.
Was listening to the end because they were still born. Because that's the hot thing. The hot thing is the Bull Roman.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. That's there's so much about this that I didn't like. Primarily that they built this the right way
better
for Roman to be the baby in the storyline. There is nothing in the storyline presented to you on television that you can look at and say that this guy here
is the guy I want to cheer
for.
No.
There is nothing about it. And to go the other way, whatever, you paid your money, you can say you can do whatever, but just know that you are a jackass. If you go there to boo Roman Reigns, if you got on a plane to go boo Roman Reigns, you are a problem with wrestling. You are a problem.
You know, and I told you my conspiracy theory. As soon as Roman walked out and they heard all them boos, they're like, oh shit. On
the
earpiece.
Change the finish.
It's been like this for the past 4 years. They knew what they was doing.
They knew
so
what they were going
into. So it's
more
of a gimmick than it is of reading.
They knew what they was doing. It wasn't the right thing to do, but, well, I mean, we're going to see tomorrow.
Yeah. It didn't seem like it because it was literally written for that boy to win.
It was.
It was a year of storytelling.
It was a match of storytelling that told us all, Roman will win. Everything we knew about this character, everything we've been told about this character said, Roman's going to win. And they didn't do it. And it's not, I'm not ready to call it wrong because
we did say
Monday night. Monday night has to happen and they need something big for that. And a lot of the complaints I saw on Twitter were, oh my God, they've gone full WCW where they're using the pay-per-view to get you to watch Monday night. You damn right they are.
They
gave the pay-per-view away for free. Literally.
Right.
Free.
Right.
People watch this for free tonight.
That's what you're doing wrestling. The object is not only just to sell you yourself, but to sell you the next show.
The next show, hook and drag, baby.
Yeah.
And furthermore, they are smart enough to know what they were going to get out of this dumb crowd at this dumb show because they're dumb dummies who just want to go boo. They knew what they were going to get, and so they gave everybody else something who's watching like, well, what's going to go on with this?
I think for Roman to go over tonight, he had to go heel turn.
Now, something had to happen. Hayden had to interfere.
But the problem with that is, at the end of the WWE title match, we got a heel turn.
That's right. So you kind of, your hands were tied. You couldn't do it.
Yeah, and again, even though they're not treated that way, the WWE title and the Universal title are supposed to be equal.
Right.
So we can't have the same thing. So if we do that, tonight, and then do Roman's turn maybe tomorrow,
or. You figure, or
we're
you
fantasy booking again?
Right, that's right. You're right.
I said maybe.
Your options are in front of you to do something else.
But the thing is that Dana has confirmed that Brock is going back.
That's
so
right.
They need that title on
Something's got to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, my bigger gripe is just the stupid crowd and the beach balls and the chanting. This is awful. It was clearly not awful.
It's getting old now.
Roman Reigns went out there and bumped his ass off in a couple spots that were ridiculously unsafe. Brock threw
two of them on his face.
On his face.
One right to table, a table on
to
his
a table
face.
On his face. And then in the going home segment, he literally takes legit hard way shots to get color to his head. What more does he have to do for? He's bleeding bad. He's bleeding bad enough for wrestlers to be like, "All right, we probably need to take this good thing home because that dude might die out there." What more does he have to do? That's a dumb way of. I just kept thinking the whole time I'm watching him bleeding, he's suffering, he's getting his ass kicked. I'm like, if this was Dusty Rhodes. This is how you built Dusty Rhodes. This is how he was built. This is how the American dream became to be. This is how we used to build baby faces. We used to do this thing. We used to use blood in a way that was interesting, and we used blood in a way that was purposeful, and we used it to get these baby faces beloved. And now, as wrestling fans, people have just decided that, nope, this is the company's guy. We're not going to do it. Well, guess what, dude? They're all the company's guy. There is no rogue in the WWE. Everybody who gets over, they got over because they were put in a place to get over. You didn't do anything.
I disagree, but I understand what you're saying.
Disagree with what, Foot?
Because there's a thing about being, there's a thing about genuinely showing that you have the... You have what it takes to be put over and then being manufacturedly put over. And we've never forgiven him for that. And that is
what we've never forgiven. What did he do?
What's the thing that he did?
What did he do?
He couldn't talk and he couldn't work and he kept being pushed.
He could talk. They gave him bad promos.
You said couldn't.
You said couldn't, which means now he can. He's always been able to talk. They overproduced him and they gave him bad promos. There's nothing wrong with his work.
No, there was before. We all complained about it.
Because the thing was, he was in the Shield.
He was the power man of the Shield.
They worked as a cohesive unit.
Yep.
He was a guy to come in there and wreck clean house. He is not doing anything different than that he's doing
that
today.
Same Superman punch and that same spear.
He's just doing it more often.
It just feels natural now. Before he had to have two other people with him to help him figure out those spots.
Sure, that's how it works.
I mean, I get it, but he was pushed so hard, and he had to be taught.
Is the guy that they put the belt on 16 times?
I get it, but in the era where you were given Sami Zayn, in the era where you were given Kevin Owens, in the era where you were like given all these people, they gave us something that he didn't, and we never...
You just like those guys because, not you specifically, but what would happen was indie crowds liked the indie guys, and when those guys made the main roster, they felt like they were theirs. That's what it is. They felt like they were theirs. Seth and Dean, you had an ownership of because you thought, I knew those guys before. I didn't know his name before. You know, because he's a manufactured guy in the way that he came up through the WWE system and didn't work indies. The time for that is over, dude. It's over. Motherfucker, you love The Undertaker. What indie did you see him on?
That was a childhood love.
But the principle is...
And he has clout.
But the thing
is, clout.
You're not going to get better without being put with people.
Right.
I am not saying that. I'm just saying crowds have never forgiven him for that.
Forgiven him for what?
He didn't do anything but go to work and do what they told him to do.
Yes.
That's fine. That's all they did. Whereas other people said, I'm not just going to do what you told me to do.
Who?
Who's the rebel, Foot?
I'd love for you to tell me this rogue WWE superstar.
We were coming off of Punk, who was supposed to be our everyday hero, getting kicked off.
He quit. Quit his job.
Quit his job. On the DVD, he literally said, I was not happy with going to work. I was not happy, and I let it show. I let it be shown. And I showed up at work one day, and they said, hey, we're going to give you a live mic. Go out there and say what you want. He went to work and did what he was told.
And we want to do that.
That's what I'm saying. We want to do that. That's why we connected.
Quit his job. Now, please give me another example. Where's the rope? Is John Moxley up there doing whatever he wants to do?
The titty master?
John Moxley's up there doing all the spots he wants to do?
He
had to work Brock in a shit match.
Yeah.
You know what happened? He got rewarded with the WWE title.
Went to work. Well, folks, apparently the Raw after Mania is going to come on in like 6 minutes. Somehow we've talked for a very long time. Yeah. We've solved nothing. Final thoughts. WrestleMania is this great, good, neutral, or bad?
I took this poll on Twitter about 30 minutes ago, and I said it was okay. It was okay.
It was good, just with some bad calls.
Right Mania, wrong match.
Right Mania, wrong match. I think it was very good. I think that top to bottom, when we start to look at this in retrospect, when we look at what was on this card, we may start to think that this was one of the best on-paper Manias that we ever saw.
You actually did say that.
And I don't think that there was... I don't think that as far as the performances from the people in the match, I don't think a single person went there and didn't deliver tonight. Mm-hmm. And that is a rare thing to be able to say.
Oh, Nicholas didn't.
Look, he hit his cues.
You bring a gun to the theater, you use it, or you don't.
Nicholas, more stunts.
And he didn't get bumped off the ropes, so Nicholas, I'm proud of him.
Nicholas has got to learn how to work, and we got to learn how to do podcasts earlier in the day. Tiger Mask, take me to bed.
My pulse rushing, but I can't help falling in love with you. So down inside, gone, something.